From Euros Worldwide, this
is FSN, yes, and somebody's going to have to pay that $900 billion back. How are you, by the way? Monday's programme, December 21st, Christmas week, the BBG. Looking forward to hearing from you. It's your call from 5:30 UK time, about 30 minutes from now. I'll be opening Skype and the telephone line, and you better talk to me or I'll find you.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
And I'll beat the granny out of you. Call me. Not till 5:30. Okay.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
And in a few minutes' time, we'll be hearing from Dr. Vernon Coleman, but in spirit, Vernon will be back on the programme, hopefully in the new year, all being well. But he published a very important video on brandnewtube.com yesterday. It's around about 3.5 minutes long. The audio is very important. It's about problems with the coronavirus vaccine, the Pfizer one. I'll play you that audio from Vernon in about 15 minutes or thereabouts. Before that, we'll round up the news, and I might just go live to Downing Street. Now, I don't know. It's very easy for me to do that. I can just rob. I can just steal the living bejesus out of the Sky News feed if I want to. Yeah, that's a real phrase in the Irish lexicon. Steal the living bejesus. Apparently, the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is going to deliver a news conference from Downing Street, where presumably he'll be flanked by the usual arseholes, Chris Whitty and Patrick Vallance, or one of them, or both, or maybe even Jean-Claude Van Tam, Jonathan Van Tam. I don't know. I'm looking at Sky News now. One of their political correspondents is speaking, rabbiting on, and as yet no sign of Johnson. We'll see. In the meantime, shortest day today, Monday, December 21st, miserable out there, gloomy. It's absolutely raining cats and dogs. And I've begun to believe, you know, when you see it rain like that, it's got to be that bloody climate change, you know.
You're born and bred in Glasgow and you've noticed the weather changes.
The rain seems to be getting heavier. Sometimes you get up in the morning and there's bucketing it down.
Climate change. Phone in tonight again. I'm going to tell you again. I've got to give you the number, don't I? Of course. It's the Skype name is Chat with Richie. That's my Skype name, Chat with Richie, all one word. But if you're calling the old-fashioned way, the number in the UK is 0161, the Manchester prefix. So it's 0161 818 2018. 0161 818 2018. If obviously outside the UK, +44 161 818 2018. But go to the Facebook page or the Twitter and you'll find it. Belated happy birthday to my great friend and colleague and confidant, one of the brightest people I've ever met in my life, the great Jean Ann Crowley. Had her birthday on Friday just gone. Great, great Irish woman. Proud of her. And I don't say things like that very lightly. Marvellous lady. Chaos, panic today. The new variant of COVID apparently is 70% more infectious, apparently, than the previous strain of coronavirus. So those of us living in the UK have been banned from travelling to nearly everywhere else in the world. Yes, for 48 hours anyway. The French led the way with the banning. Queues at Dover, apparently. People panicking about food. There's the new variant. And if you were watching the news today, like myself, you will have seen one after another government-friendly scientists, loads of scientists, sage members, going on to telly and saying, oh yeah, oh yes, oh yes, deadly, deadly, 70% more infectious, oh yes. Was a single one of them asked for any evidence? Of course not. Of course not. And former government chief scientific advisor David King, who is a member of SAGE apparently, he wants a national lockdown immediately and he wants it to last indefinitely. That's what he said. Here he explains why. to Sky News.
There's only one course of action because the government doesn't have the ability to separate people who have the disease and who've been in touch with those with the disease from the rest of the population, from the healthy population, which is the normal way to handle a pandemic. Since March, they haven't achieved this. And here we are now, the worst impacted country in the world. This has all been far too little, far too late.
Lockdown, 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 lockdown. That was it all day long. Lockdown. It's a shite show. Any dissent? Well, the Mail Online quoted Professor Carl Hennigan from Oxford University. And if memory serves, Carl Hennigan is a professor of evidence-based medicine. Hennigan says, I want to see the evidence. I want to see the evidence before I believe them that the new strain is 70% more infectious, what he said to the Mail Online. But of course, nobody in the televisual media, or on the wireless, nobody thought to give Carl Hennigan 5 or 10 minutes just for a bit of balance. No, it's just rinse and repeat. Oh, it's deadly. It's deadly. This new strain is deadly. So Hancock, Matt Hancock, then Matt Wankcock, as he has been dubbed by the Twitter sphere. I shouldn't have said that, really. But that's what they call him, Matt Wankcock. Sorry for not giving you the disclaimer about children being in the room. I forgot. Mea culpa. So Matt Hancock appeared on national television yesterday and said the three-tier system was getting a new tier. Tier four. It's deadly, is this virus? Hancock told Sophie Ridge and Andrew Marr, respectively, went on Ridge. Then he hot-footed it across the street to the BBC studios. Neither Ridge or Marr could find their own arse with two hands and a map, right? Andrew Marr couldn't find an elephant with diarrhoea in the snow, let alone find the truth. Ridge wanted to know, Sophie Ridge, is it tier four until we're vaxxed? Is it tier four until we're vaxxed? Is it?
I mean, is it likely that if you're in a tier four area now, you're going to be in a tier four area until that vaccine is rolled out?
How helpful.
Well, I think that given how much faster this new variant spreads, it is going to be very difficult to keep it under control until we have the vaccine rolled out.
Misery until the vaccine comes. So he ran across the road to Andrew Marr. Marr said, is the virus out of control? In answering, Hancock inexplicably said he wanted us all to act like we had the virus.
The new variant is out of control and we need to bring it under control. And this news about the new variant has been an incredibly difficult end to, frankly, an awful year. And it's important for everybody to act, essentially act like they might have the virus. And that's the way that we can control it together.
Together. Because we're in it together. Johnson is on his feet. Do you want to hear what Johnson has to say? Just a bit of it anyway.
Freight traffic to resume between the UK and France and to ensure that lorries can travel in both directions in a COVID-secure way. I want to stress that we in the UK fully understand the anxieties of our friends about COVID, their anxieties about the new variant. But it's also true that we believe the risks of transmission by a solitary driver sitting alone in the cab are really very low. And so we hope to make progress as fast as we possibly can. I want to repeat that these delays only apply to a very small percentage of food entering the UK. And as British supermarkets have said, their supply chains are strong and robust, so everyone can continue to shop normally. And to our international friends and partners, I want to say very frankly that we understand your concerns. And I hope everybody can see that as soon as we were briefed in UK government on the fast transmissibility of this new strain at, I think, 3:15 on Friday afternoon, we lodged all the necessary information with the World Health Organization, and we took prompt and decisive action the very next day to curb the spread of the new variant within the UK. And we want to work with our colleagues, with our friends around the world, as we have from the beginning, to develop new treatments and to develop new vaccines, as we have. And I can today announce that over 500,000 people, more than 500,000 people in the UK, have now received their first dose.
What we're waiting to hear now is if there are any plans to deal with this new variant in terms of enforcing a national lockdown. Let's hear, does he get into a national lockdown?
It's steadily being defeated by an international response, and an international response that is bringing the hope of vaccines to the entire world. And in that, the UK will continue to play its full part. I now hand over to Secretary of State for Transport, Grant.
Thank you very much.
We'll leave it there. He's handed over to Grant Shapps. Patrick Vallance, the Chief Scientific Advisor to the government, is there as well. We probably won't come back to it. I'll tell you what comes out of it as we go along this evening, but it is the phone-in programme. So I want to move on swiftly. Going to be hearing in a moment from Dr. Vernon Coleman. Grabbed the audio from a video that he uploaded to brandnewtube.com last night. Let's move on then. Okay, let's move right on. Peter Hitchens, the journalist and author, was on Mike Graham's talk radio programme this morning. It's a regular guest slot. Hitchens, he's on with him most Mondays, or every second Monday, I can't remember. Hitchens says to Michael Graham here, we, as in the UK, lead the world in the production of fear. Here he is, Peter Hitchens.
One thing this government has done is up the production of fear to unbelievably high levels. We lead the world in the production of fear. And fear, of course, makes people behave irrationally and convinces them that they have to do things which they would never previously have done. And on and on and on it goes. And when I say an angry Christmas, I mean this. Look, here's a comparison. You probably know I'm a cyclist, and I've been riding a bike in London for 40 years.
Yes.
And I have some sympathy with sensible provisions, cycle lanes, being able to ride in some of the royal parts if you take care and things like that. But I wasn't particularly impressed by the sudden outbreak of plastic poles and a new extra wide cycle lanes which infested the city a few weeks ago. The interesting thing, they were really unpopular. And they were unpopular with normal people, and they were unpopular with major celebrities. And do you know what I noticed this morning? They've almost all gone.
Yes. No, that's absolutely
because
right.
Because people got angry. Mm. Now, I don't blame them for getting angry about that, but it's nothing like as serious as the robbery of personal freedom, the destruction of the economy, the wrecking of the National Health Service, the abandoning of thousands of people to needless deaths from cancer, heart disease, and the rest, and the increasing isolation of the old, and of course the growth in mental illness which will fall from this. It's nothing like as serious as that. Mm. Everybody got angry about a few plastic poles in the road. Why can't they get angry about the destruction of civil society? Get angry, because if you don't get angry, it will never go away. People now say it'll go on till May, and I believe almost certainly this tier four will be extended to most of the rest of the country, certainly by the end of January. Sooner. Almost certainly a tier five will be invented after that with all kinds of, they'll probably try and make us wear muzzles in the street and confine us to our homes even more rigorously than they did last March. All this is coming. If you don't get angry, you'll never get out of it, because even if this virus, such as it is, ever vanishes, then another one will come along which will give them a pretext to do exactly the same thing. If you don't get angry, you are condemned to this for life. And so are your children. It will go on and on. You're handing people power they shouldn't have. And the only way to take it away from them is saying you don't deserve to have this power. You're abusing it and it's dangerous. We want it back.
Absolutely.
If you get rid of your cycle lanes, you can certainly, by anger and refusal to carry on putting up with this, you can get rid of this too.
Yeah, they're not angry. They're scared, you see. I think they're scared. They're petrified. I think he's right. I think there will inevitably be a tier five. Maybe there will. Maybe there won't. And we've heard Dr. Vernon Coleman on many an occasion suggest that it won't be too long before mask wearing in public becomes mandated or becomes mandatory. We'll have to wait and see how that one pans out as well. Nigel Farage, by the way, was on the very same programme this morning. Here is Farage on Michael Graham's talk radio show.
I mean, having told us that it would be inhuman to cancel Christmas, suddenly he's obviously been scared by the scientists, and without really providing us with any proper data or reason, they've just cancelled Christmas. I mean, it is truly extraordinary. And tell you what, Mike, I just can't get my head around, and that is YouGov. Mm. Now, are they acting as an arm of government or as an independent pollster? They tell us that 74% of the country support the announcements Boris Johnson made. Let me tell you, I couldn't find that 74% this morning when I was out shopping.
Well, nobody's ever met anyone either that I know of who's ever been polled by YouGov. I don't know anyone who's ever been polled by YouGov, and you probably don't either.
Well, maybe. I mean, look, maybe the figure is higher than you and I think it should be, and that's simply because of fear. You know, the mutant strain. It's, yeah, it's like out of a sci-fi film. It's sort of Doctor Who as a kid, isn't it? Hiding behind a settee. I mean, and clearly, of course, the rest of Europe and the rest of the world think that as well.
Yeah.
So, I accept that there are a lot of people who've been terrified for the government all the way through. But I just cannot believe that fewer than 20% of us object to what he's done. I just don't believe
it. No, I don't believe it either.
Mm. He's suggesting that the YouGov polling, which alleges that the government has got pretty much broad support from the country for these measures, that the polling itself is a bit suspect. I think he's probably right. Nigel Farage there. It's 20 minutes past five. Don't forget, in about 10 to 15 minutes' time, I'll be taking your calls. I meant to mention at the top of the programme, for a long time when I did these phone calls, we got a lot of ladies calling up. We got a lot of women. In the most recent ones, we didn't have too many female voices. Like to hear from female voices today. I'm not going to discriminate today. I'm not. But I'd like to hear more of a balance, if at all possible. If you've never contacted the programme before, please do so. Set the agenda. Talk about whatever you want. What I won't be getting into today is detailed personal stories, because we don't have time for that today. I expect a high volume of calls. So it's Chat with Richie, all one word, on Skype. That's the way to Skype me. It won't cost you a pfennig. Won't cost you a pfennig. Do you remember the days of the pfennig before the euro came in and a cent? Chat with Richie, all one word. The telephone number is 0161818 2018. That's if you're inside the UK. If you're outside the UK, it's the prefix +44 and then 1618182018. Now, this is interesting. Talk radio getting a good airing today. Dr. Claire Craig is a consultant pathologist, and she was on talk radio also today. The presenter put it to her that the government's ace card is to constantly claim that hospitals are being overwhelmed. You see, it puts a big guilt trip. The government lays a guilt trip on the public, saying, oh, got to do these restrictions because hospitals are being overwhelmed. Claire Craig, consultant pathologist, says the data doesn't back that up. And she goes on to talk about staff shortages, which I talked about on this programme last week. Dr. Claire Craig.
The data does not back that up. So while we have seen increased numbers of people labelled with COVID in the hospitals, the number of people in the hospital in total isn't changing. And that's what you see when you've got a labelling problem, that the more you can increase the number of COVID patients, but if that isn't affecting the total number of patients, then it looks like you've just misdiagnosing the people that would be in hospital anyway. And that does seem to be the situation we're in. But I will say that I think a lot of doctors have got themselves, or not just doctors, actually, people who work in hospitals, some of them are coming away fearful that they're being overwhelmed. And that kind of fear comes from a situation where the flow of the hospital breaks. So when you're trying to keep people separate because they're COVID positive or COVID negative and vulnerable or whatever, you stop the bed management being smooth. And that means you can't get people from A&E into a bed. So A&E can back up and it can look like the hospital is being overwhelmed when actually the data shows that it isn't. It's just it's a management problem, because we're testing all of these people. And added to it, we're testing all the staff. And we have mass staff absences from all the testing, which obviously does overwhelm the NHS. Yeah. That's a real problem. And we have to get this testing right, because people will die if you don't staff the hospitals properly. And if you're sending asymptomatic home people who should be staffing the hospitals on the basis of a potentially wrong test result, then, you know, we're going to end up killing people.
That is bombshell stuff there from Dr. Claire Craig. It's bombshell stuff. And it should be front page news on every newspaper in this country. Because not only does the NHS have a big staffing problem anyway, not only is it down tens of thousands of nurses, and it's down tens of thousands of beds from this time last year. And this is why they're bullshit about, you know, the beds are full and there are people in the corridors. Well, yes, you've taken a lot of beds away from hospitals in the last 12 months. And you've also got a big, big nurse shortage in the NHS. And to compound that, you're then telling nurses to go home because they tested positive for coronavirus, even though they're completely asymptomatic and even though we know that the PCR test is completely redundant. And I know this to be true. I know several nurses, two of whom work at Salford Royal, others who work in other hospitals around the country who speak to me confidentially. And they say not only are people leaving the service, leaving nursing, because it's always been a nightmare. Recent years, nurses overworked, doing the job of two, sometimes three people. This is pre the so-called pandemic. Now they're testing nurses all the time. Oh yeah, we found COVID there. You're going to have to go home and isolate for a couple of weeks. So it's a national scandal, or at least it should be. It completely destroys this idea that the hospitals are bursting with coronavirus patients. They're not. They're not, or anything like it. Not conjecture. Fact. Not my opinion. Stone cold fact. But you'll never hear that on BBC or Sky News, will you? And even when she was getting into it on talk radio, you could hear the presenter there trying to hurry her on and move her on, you know. Let's not dwell on that, because that's real news. It's 25 past the hour now. Dr. Vernon Coleman, that's our Dr. Vernon Coleman, brandnewtube.com, an old man in a chair, published a very short video last night called Urgent News About the COVID-19 Vaccine. I'll shut up and say no more about it. I've, with his permission, taken the audio from the video. Listen very carefully. 3.5 minutes. Very important stuff. Do go to brandnewtube.com if you get a chance and spread that video around. Spread it everywhere. All right, Dr. Vernon Coleman.
This is the shortest video I've ever made, and I think it's probably the most important. I've just seen a report from ACIP COVID-19 Vaccine Work Group at the CDC in America. ACIP is the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. And this is a report on anaphylaxis following mRNA COVID-19 vaccine receipt. And the report includes a table headed V-Safe Active Surveillance for COVID-19 Vaccines. The table lists the number of registrants with the recorded first dose by December the 18th as 112,807, and the number of health impact events as 3,150. Health impact events are defined as individuals, open quotes, unable to perform normal daily activities, unable to work, required care from doctor or health professional, close quotes. That's 2.79%, and it's within days of receiving the vaccine. If 60 million people in the UK have the vaccine, we can expect 1.67 million people to be unable to work, unable to perform normal daily activities, and to require care. I don't know how long for. If 6 billion people worldwide have the vaccine, then the number rises to 167 million. And this, remember, is a short-term problem. We don't know what will happen in the medium and long term. The link to the report, Urgent Information About COVID-19 Vaccination, is on my website under the Health button. Please go and see it and share it before it disappears. If anyone at the BBC or any other mainstream media has any integrity, they'll put this as the main news item on their next bulletin. I'm not telling anyone whether or not to have the vaccine. I'm not anti-vax for some odd Luddite reason, but I am pro-science and pro-truth. And I'm doing something that governments won't do. I'm helping people make an informed choice. That's all I've done since March of 2020, and for that I've been banned, libelled and sneered at by the ignorant, the prejudiced and the bought. In my view, what this report means is that the COVID-19 vaccine rollout has to be stopped now. If it's not stopped, then we know what's going on. If governments are really guided by the science, as they claim to be, they have no choice. People often say, what can I do about all this? Well, it's very simple. You send copies of this video and of the report, which is on my website, to journalists, MPs, family, friends, anyone who wants more information about the COVID-19 vaccine. If you want to stop this, you can. It's up to you. You can make a difference. Click on the link in the box below and it'll take you straight to my website, and you can find the link to the CDC report on underneath the health button. Thank you for watching. An old man in a chair.
Listen, there's no need for me to add anything to that, so I won't. Go to vernoncoleman.com and click health on the drop down. Well, it's not drop down, the menu on the side of, on the left hand side of the page, and you'll get all of that information there. Again, I won't add anything to it except to say he's right, of course. It should be the lead story on BBC, Channel 4, ITN, Sky News and all the rest of it today. But of course it won't be. My friend Spiro Skouras, who will be on the programme with me on Wednesday on the last Richie Allen Show of the year. I am going to be with you on Christmas morning. That's a different thing entirely. Spiro has had his Twitter account suspended. Just had an email from him there, and I've tried to log on to his Twitter account, and sadly, it's been suspended. And sadly, but unsurprisingly, and I'm guessing it won't be long before many of us in the independent media see our Twitter accounts blocked or suspended or deleted as well. So Spiro Skouras, if you're looking for Spiro, by the way, if you're looking for Spiro, go to youtube.com, look for Spiro Skouras, activistpost.com. But it seems that he's been kicked off of Twitter there. Is there anything for me to tell you about Boris Johnson's briefing at the moment? Let's listen into it for a minute.
Data this week, what time this week, and what sort of extra data will we get in what sort of time frame?
No, not really. It seems that they've said what they want to say, and now the journalists are asking questions. I don't have time to scroll back down through the text to see what was said. Let's have a quick look. Social distancing is even more important now, says Patrick Vallance. Yeah, lovely. They were asked questions about the vaccine and when the vaccine will be rolled out. Can they speed it up? Again, I would listen back to what Dr. Vernon Coleman had to say there. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a tune and then I'm going to take your calls. Let me give you the contact details for the programme. To call me using the old-fashioned dog and bone, it's 0161818-2018. I'll slow down. 0161818-2018. If you're calling from outside the country, +44 1618182018. And the best way to contact me anyway is through Skype audio, chat with Richie. It's all one word, chat with Richie. I'm going to turn it on now and I look forward to hearing from you for the last time in 2020. How about that, eh? Taking us to your calls, here's George Michael. Well, it's Wham, Andrew Ridgely as well, of course. And I do love this tune. This is Last Christmas on the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford. Welcome to the programme, eh? Wham, Last Christmas on the Richie Allen Radio Show, December 21st, 4 days to go. I'm determined, I'm absolutely determined that I'm going to have a good time at Christmas. I am, more than ever before. My heart sank over the weekend a couple of times. I thought, you know what, to hell with it. But no, I'm going to have a good time this Christmas, one way or another. Rose is in Los Angeles. How you doing, Rose? Welcome to the programme. How are you?
Hello, Richie. I'm good.
Now, Rose, you're Rose Resnor. Now, are you a fan of Nine Inch Nails, or is there some connection?
Well, it's a stage name.
Ah.
I do modeling.
Yeah, because being a big U2 fan, well, I used to be, U2's biggest record of all time, Achtung Baby, was massively inspired by Nine Inch Nails music, the industrial kind of sound of Nine Inch Nails. And of course, Trent Reznor is the lead singer, and I kind of thought there might have been some connection. I'm just a geek, Rose. That's all it is. Great to be speaking with you, though. How are things in Los Angeles? How are you coping with all of this?
Oh, I'm just dying for it to be over, like everyone else, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, Los Angeles is locked down. I'm actually in Ventura County, which is one county north of Los Angeles, to touch it, borders to LA. And, you know, like, we didn't have it bad enough with all the homeless, like, completely taking over the city. It's worse now than ever. And the lockdown has made it just so difficult. So many people are out of work, you know? And I'm just so lucky to be an accountant and be considered an essential worker. So
you can still do a day's work. And where I'm a bit depressed here, Rose, in terms of when I meet people, they seem to be all for the lockdown and they're taking it very seriously. What are the people you were meeting, how are they feeling about it? Is there any resistance to this in Los Angeles?
Not really. You know, we do have a small sector of like Trump supporters, but which I am not a Trump supporter, but, you know, everybody's very liberal here. And, you know, basically the governor has just come in and said, you know, that's it, shutting it down.
Yeah.
And so you don't really have like anybody really fighting. The restaurant owners are protesting in front of the city of L.A., the mayor's mansion. So they're out there protesting because they're, you know, their livelihoods are just being totally destroyed. And I'm seeing it, all these protests going on with that. And, you know, it saddens me because they're not even discussing the fact that this might cause a Great Depression. You know, they just say, oh, the stock market's fine. We're going to be fine. No, it's not fine. All these people are going to be that are, you know, the rents coming due are going to be out on the street. And that's just going to increase the poverty level. And they're not going to have the money to spend and put back into the economy the way the consumerism is in America. And it's a huge problem.
Yeah. Our news bulletin today talked of a $900 billion stimulus package for the U.S. And I think you just summed it up beautifully there. I mean, what do people think? That they're not going to want that money back? Do they think that, you know, it's the fairy godmother has delivered $900 billion? Of course, it's going to have to be paid back in the future. And that's going to be devastating for people. It's a shocker, really. I wonder, is there anything that they might do to us that might light a fire under people, Rose? Is there anything, you know, if they mandated the vaccine, like if they said in the US, if they said in the UK, you've got to take it whether you like it or not, I wonder, would that make people sit up and pay attention?
You know, they've encroached on our civil rights, which, you know, in the United States, our Constitution is basically what we should be living by in our Bill of Rights, right? And they've encroached upon them since the Patriot Act, since 9/11, so long that people have just become docile to it and they just accept it and they just roll over like it's no big deal because the government, their daddy told them it was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, 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 very smart mentioning the Patriot Act. And I was working in radio in Ireland at the time, and I remember covering the introduction of the Patriot Act, and I was aghast. My mouth was on the floor. I couldn't believe that Americans would take that level of intrusion. I mean, I read the Patriot Act as best as I could, and you had sections in there that entitled law enforcement agencies, any of them, to enter your house, Rose, without telling you, rummage around in your equipment, rummage around in your notes and your books in your drawers, and then leave without ever telling you they'd been there. And I thought, Americans won't stand for that. But they did. As you said, they did. And when you take those things and you don't stand up to it, well, of course they're going to keep taking liberties, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, they're encroaching so far as to bring on the police state. You know, like I was going to go see my daughter for Christmas and she's up in this San Francisco area. And they put in an order where if you're coming from outside the Bay Area, you have to quarantine when you get there. Now, you know they have cameras and all the surveillance technology they have today. I just told my daughter, I'm going to wait till the quarantine's over because I know us and I'll like go hang out with you and they'll be like, you're supposed to be quarantined. And, you know, I don't want that to happen. So I just avoid it altogether.
Are you looking forward to Christmas or are you a bit like me? I mean, over the weekend, I was looking at it thinking, I just can't wait for it to be over now. It's so miserable. And then I said, no, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to try and forget about what's been happening and I'm going to go for it. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think if I have enough eggnog and brandy, I'll be fine.
If you have enough of the hard stuff, it'll see you through.
That's right.
And not to get too personal now, but you mentioned your daughter there. What about your own parents, Rose, or grandparents? Is that a problem? Is it just as bad there? I mean, here they're telling people, don't go and speak to, you know, don't go and see your grandparents. Avoid it at all costs. How is it there? Would that impact on you in Los Angeles, there in Ventura?
Richie, it's so ironic that you bring that up because there was a time when you were playing on your radio station. And by the way, I've been listening to your radio show since 2017.
Oh, have you? Oh, great.
Yeah. So just so you know, I'm a longtime listener. But when we were talking about, you know, enjoy yourself and kill granny, like, and I was having fun with you with that.
Yeah.
My grandmother, who was 87 years old, stocky little Irish lady.
Go on.
She caught the COVID, got over it, but she had that lingering cough and it killed her.
No way.
Yeah. But she already had Alzheimer's and she didn't remember anyone anyways. So it, in a way it was a blessing, you know, for her.
How long ago was that, Rose? It's obviously recent, is it?
November.
I'm genuinely sorry to hear that. Where did she come from, your grandmother? Which part of Ireland?
Derry.
She was from Derry, was she?
Yeah.
Wow. So she got over it, but she had a lingering cough and it got worse.
Yeah. And it just got into her. And she was already on the way out. So, you know, I'm happy that she went in her sleep and everything is okay. You know, it was time. So it was okay. But, you know, I have known people that have had the COVID that have gotten over it.
Yeah. It's foolish. Yeah. It's foolish of people to say that there hasn't been any virus. I mean, I don't buy into that. I'm absolutely happy to believe that we've had a nasty respiratory infection. I've no doubt in my mind. I was pretty ill myself in January, and I think it's just my fitness, my level of fitness is pretty good, saved me from ending up in hospital. So I mean, when you hear people say, "Oh, there's no virus at all," does that piss you off? Really, you know, looking at what happened to your gran.
Yeah, you know, my problem with Trump supporters, it's like, oh, he's going to fix everything. He's going to fix the deep state. He didn't do a damn thing for anybody except himself. And all these people just like buy into it, you know, and, you know, I don't know about the vaccine. I know a lot of people that I've spoken to, even in the military, people that I know that have said they aren't going to take it. I'm not going to take it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let my kid take it. Just like I won't let her take Gardasil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like there's certain things that I agree with, you know, but this is definitely an illness. Now, how it was it lab created? That's questionable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that we will never know the truth about how this all started. And I think it was very well. I mean, like, I think about it and I go, they spray us with chemtrails all the time. What are the, you know, what's to say they didn't spray us with this?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wide open to that, too. I have no idea how the virus came to be, you know, how it landed on us. None whatsoever. I've heard all the theories just like you, the Wuhan, the games, the military games, the exercises, all of that. And I'm like, yeah, it could be. I just haven't an idea. But I don't buy into the notion that there's no virus. When I use the term hoax, it's to describe the pandemic. I don't believe there's a pandemic, because the virus, as nasty as it can be for people, basically it leaves most people alone, doesn't it, Rose? Most people won't even know they had it. It's people like your gran, God love her, and, you know, people who've got the comorbidities, senior people are obviously vulnerable to it, like they would be to any infection. But for the rest of us, really, it's not something that we really should be too worried about.
No, I think it's a common cold for most people, unless you have, you know, the underlying health conditions, like they say.
Yeah.
Period.
And what about So whether the virus came into being accidentally and they just took advantage of it, or whether it was manufactured, it's looking like, from my point of view anyway, that certain people behind certain agendas were waiting for the excuse to do some of the things they've done in terms of taking away the liberties. Do you go along with that? Like, it was manna from heaven, really, for these people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said before, you know, they've been trying to do this since 2001. I mean, this is just par for the course with these people.
Yeah.
They will continue to do encroachment. You know, I look at the Agenda 2030, and there's a woman from the Bay Area. Her name's Rosie Corey, I believe. And she talks about how the agenda and sustainable, like, energy and housing and all these things are going into play, and how, you know, all these smart cities and everything, it is, you know, it's exactly what they're leading us to. This is just a test run, beta test.
Rose, it's lovely chatting with you. I've got a lot of calls coming in. I could spend more time with you, no doubt. Really interesting. Genuinely sorry to hear about your gran, Rose. I'm not just saying that. It's an easy thing to say, but we've been there before. I've been there before with family members. It's not easy, particularly at Christmas, so... I wish you all the best with that. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening to the show, by the way. It really means a lot to me.
Thank you, Richie.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Look after yourself. That's Rose there, lovely Rose, who has been a model, works as an accountant these days, and gave me a shout there from Los Angeles in California, Ventura. She said, didn't she? Ventura, it was Ventura. There's a problem with the telephone number. It's not my end. I don't think it's my end. I know a number of you have sent messages on Twitter, and I've had a couple of emails from people saying you've tried to get through on the phone line and you can't. You're getting a message saying that the number isn't in service. The number is in service. I don't know what's wrong with that. And I did give you the right number. It is 0161818 2018. It's difficult for me, being a one-man band, to do anything about that, but I'll do my best. But in the meantime, Skype is still working, and the Skype name for the program, the Skype handle, is Chat with Richie. That's all one word, Chat with Richie. I've got Jody, and Jody's in Manchester, or Greater Manchester. How you doing, Jody? I think we have Jody. How you doing, Jody? Are you there? Getting some sound there, but I'm not hearing Jody. Are you there, Jody? Could be a microphone that's muted now or something like that. That happens from time to time. We accidentally mute the old mic. Tell you what we'll do. We'll give Jody a chance.
Hello.
You're there, Jody.
Oh, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me, no?
One second.
Go on, we'll give you a chance there. Jody can't hear me. My microphone isn't muted, of course.
Yes, Jody. How you doing, Jody? Are you there?
I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Getting some sound there, but I'm not hearing Jody. Are you there, Jody?
I'm here.
Could be your microphone that's muted now.
But yet I'm hearing myself back. Look, I'm going to leave Jody go for a minute till she sorts that out. Jody, I'll get back to you. I was coming back, my own voice was coming back to me there. There was a problem there. I'll call you back in a minute. It'll probably have cleared itself. That's the way it works. We've got Joe, though. How you doing, Joe? Hi, Joe. Something is going on here, eh? There's gremlins. There's gremlins in the works, I think. Hello, Joe? No. What's going on today, eh? People are trying to call the telephone number, and they're not getting through, and it's telling them that the number is out of service, but the number isn't out of service. I've just checked. It's perfect. Let's see, we've got Mommy 2 Ray on Skype. How you doing? Are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, thank God for that. Somebody can hear me. There's gremlins. Who am I speaking with, by the way?
I'm Laura.
How you doing, Laura? Laura, thank God for you. I was about to throw everything out the window. I was going to have a proper diva moment, Laura. I was going to go full on Basil Fawlty. I was going to go to the right and get a branch of a tree and start beating it off the equipment. Something was going. Laura, how are you? Welcome to the program. Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
You sound like you're in good form anyway, despite the madness. Who is
it? Yeah, no, it's all a bit crazy, isn't it? I'm waiting for gin o'clock, Richie. That's the thing.
Well, it's gin o'clock now, Laura. Feel free to pour yourself a double or a treble or whatever your tip is. Where are you in the country, by the way? Do you mind me asking?
Yeah, I'm St Albans, Hertfordshire.
You're in Hertfordshire. And are you gearing up for Christmas? Are you looking forward to Christmas, or were you like me last weekend? You were just not caring about it. How do you feel about it?
I'm struggling. Hang on, my boy is with me and wants to give me a cuddle just when I'm on the phone.
Hello.
I'll speak to you in a minute, Leo, okay?
How are you doing, Leo?
That's my son, bless him. I never really look forward to it. Things are always difficult, but this year's like so much harder because I'm the only one in the family that wants to kind of just carry on as normal. It's all really, really difficult. But I wanted to ring you, Richie, because obviously listening to you all the time, and I'm actually the person that runs the Vernon Coleman group on Facebook. And
you're that, Laura. It's nice.
Yes.
It's doubly nice to meet you, Laura. Doubly nice to meet you.
No, it's doubly nice to meet you,
yeah,
too. Obviously, you know, when I created the first group, because we're on the second group now, it's all been insane. The first group got to 12,000 members. The second group is now just over 5,000. We're being infiltrated all the time with 77th Brigade and other kinds of people trying to shut us down. I lost my entire account, actually, because Vernon mentioned me in one of his videos and it was just so amazing. I didn't expect it. And then literally 3 days later, they just wiped my entire Facebook account with 37,000 followers.
No way.
Yeah. I was like, wow, okay. So it really is a frontline war going on, you know. And obviously I get so many messages. We've got a brilliant team, brilliant, brilliant admin and moderating team.
Yeah, I'm not really on Facebook. There is a page for the radio show, but I don't really run that. And but I have seen the Vernon Coleman Facebook page you set up, and by and large you were discussing episodes of An Old Man in a Chair and you were sharing them. Nothing really that warranted banning or deletion, and yet it happened anyway.
Yeah, it happened anyway. Yeah, I got one little ban for 24 hours
right.
for calling someone a bitch because obviously she was an infiltrator in the group and she'd attacked me about something. And I just remember posting something on there about having a son with autism and that I'm a single mum and that actually it's so difficult. I didn't go into detail, but I just tried to explain why it's really hard running the group with everything that's going on. And I can't remember now what her response was, but it was so awful and so rude. I just put, wow, you're actually a bitch. And literally within seconds, bang, I violated their community standards. So I had my 24-hour ban. That was hard. But then the next one was, like I said, 3 days after Vernon had gone on and done a video, and then he mentioned my name right at the end, and I had all these messages coming through, Laura, Laura, he said your name. I thought, oh, my God. And literally, in the background, I'd just been uploading constantly, like, all of his videos. I was ripping all the videos from YouTube and re-uploading them onto the page, because I got the page going as well. And then literally, they just flagged one of Vernon's videos and just said it had broken their community standards. Didn't tell me why, and then just deactivated me.
It was about masks. Was it the video about masks?
I think it could have been. Yeah.
They decided. I know YouTube decided to delete that. They when I interviewed him about the book, that show was deleted, and a community strike was put on the account. I won't be uploading to YouTube ever again. No. Not that it matters. So tell me about these infiltrators then. What sort of things do they say when they come on? I mean, what are they doing basically, infiltrators?
Well, we're convinced that some of them might be humans, but some of them we think are AI. Like, for example, this person that was like attacking me on my post that day, they're just, if that was a human, Richie, there's no way that they would have had enough time to report me to Facebook for bullying and harassment.
Speed of life.
Literally, it was within 10 seconds of me posting that comment and it came up straight away. But they stand out a mile, you know, because normally whatever our discussions are about, you know, the consensus in the group is obviously we are all of the same mindset about everything. Obviously, there are some differings of opinions, but generally it's quite sort of a friendly, supportive place.
Yeah.
we've had some people on there that have really, really struggled with their mental health. So I created a mental health and wellbeing team and had loads of volunteers. It's a fantastic, fantastic community of support. So what happens normally is when we get one of these infiltrators, that their comment just is just completely against everything we believe. And that's always the first sort of flag, red flag. And then when we go onto their profile, they've got a profile picture of a cat or a dog or poppies, and their profiles have no content. And literally, like, they're just there just to create trouble. And
by the way, just for our listeners who don't understand, the 77th Brigade is a real thing. It's a division of the British Army. And it was set up basically to tackle disinformation and to fight cyber wars.
And they work for our government, don't they?
They work for the government. Yeah, it's the army. And the idea is that, well, it's widely believed, and I think there is plenty of circumstantial evidence, that the 77th Brigade is being used or has been deployed to try and go after so-called anti-vaxxers, most of whom are not anti-vaxxers either. There are people who are saying, listen, this vaccine was rushed through. We think we're a bit worried about it. You know, you're not. I looked at quite a bit of stuff on your page. You've not got people talking about, you know, vaccines in any way that would, I suppose, give any ammunition to these people. It's basic stuff. No. You know, we're worried about the vaccine.
No,
why do we need
it? It's crazy because the only thing that we are allowed to ask is the vaccine going to be mandatory? There's nothing else that's allowed. So what we're trying to do now, if anyone wants to discuss it, is we're trying to make just the main description of the post, we're trying to change the letters so it doesn't actually say the word vaccine. And then the discussions tend to be unmonitored. Of course, it's all monitored, but you know, it takes them longer, I think, to find us in the discussion, in the comments sections. But then that's where the 77th Brigade come in, you see, because then they're all over the posts, and then, you know, they're watching everything. But it really makes me rage because people are not allowed to even just question it, not even discuss things to do with the ingredients, and you know, are these ingredients safe? And you know, it's insane.
Well, right up to the time that the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine was approved, Jonathan Van Tam, the deputy chief medical officer, admitted on national radio that he hadn't seen a list of the ingredients. This is an astonishing thing. And, you know, in another time, the presenter, of course, would have gone across the table and said to him, you're advocating that people take a vaccine and you don't know what's in it yourself. Of course, the presenter didn't. This is where he is, where we are, Laura, sadly. And so you've got young Leo there. He sounded young. do you mind me asking, you do not have to answer this, and don't if you think it might be problematic. Was he vaccinated against anything?
I'm glad you asked, because yes, he was. and actually, funnily enough, you know, sometimes you just don't correlate things in your mind. But when I do look back, he had his MMR and other normal vaccinations. Yeah. I want to use that word, obviously. But yeah, I think he was about two. And as I remember back around that age, I was taking him to different toddler groups. I think it's pretty obvious, really, when you look back, even though it's kind of quite hard to think about it, because I feel huge amounts of guilt. But he did.
You shouldn't feel any guilt. Not at all. Not
I
in
know,
a million years.
I know. And it's always easy to say, you know, if I knew back then what I know now. And obviously the most important thing now is obviously just doing the best I can for him and helping him. And, you know, and he is brilliant. He's doing really well. He's in a special needs school. He plays the drums. He's a legend.
Good man. Little Keith Moon. You got a little Keith Moon in the making there. I love that. The drums. Yeah. Can't beat the drums. Can you? Before I move on, Laura,
I think that he was vaccine damaged. Yeah,
you think he was?
Yeah, because he started hurting all the children at the toddler groups and stuff, and it just carried on, Richie, even when he started nursery, and it was always he was just really violent. And it wasn't till I got him in the right school after 11 exclusions from his primary school that suddenly all the challenging behaviour stopped. Because he was in the right place and getting the right support. But yeah, it's tragic. But what I'm trying to do, mate, is I'm trying to focus on, because it's all so hard. So I'm just trying to focus on supporting the old man in a chair, you know, because actually that's something that I can do. And even just looking on the post insights on the page, like all of the videos I've uploaded so far, even if they get deleted, they've had 239,000 post reaches.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, so it's very good. Give it a plug there for people who might be on Facebook now, might be looking for it.
Well, we've got, at the moment, there's two pages because obviously we never know which one's going to go. So there's one page which is called Old Man in a Chair and the other is We Support Dr. Vernon Coleman. And then our group is just called Old Man in a Chair.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they won't even let me copy that link now to share to people. So I think you're going to have to type it into the search engine. And we do ask people, obviously, to answer some questions to come into the group. But it's brilliant. We've got topics. So anything that gets posted that I think, wow, people will need to see this. And I tag it in one of the topics. Do you know what I mean? So about vaccines or there's even a Richie Allen Show topic.
Go on, is there?
Yeah. So fantastic. I'm just trying to help everybody to kind of get that information. But, you know, the love in that group for Vernon is huge. And people are always messaging me, I really want to ask him this and I really want to ask him that. And I always think, you know what? I know exactly how you feel. But, do you know, I just want to say, just this morning, there was a lady called Roxanne in the group and she wrote this post and it just made me want to cry because I thought this is amazing. And it says, can anyone get a personal thank you to Dr. Coleman for warning us about Christmas food shortages? I'm so glad I listened. You actually saved our Christmas. So a big thank you and Merry New Year to the amazing old man in a chair.
He's incredibly humble as well. He's a very humble bloke, you know, for a guy with a... with a massive brain, he's incredibly humble. I love him forevermore for what he done back in the 80s when he refused to put the, you know, if somebody had a doctor's note because they were ill, he refused to label their illness or their complaint for privacy reasons. And he stood up to the government. I've known that for some years. He's a brilliant guy. Laura, I'm going to move on if you don't mind. I'm really thrilled to have met you, by the way.
Yes, you too.
Really. Honestly, and nice to hear from little Leo there as well. How old is Leo now?
He's 11 now.
Banging the drums. He's got a set of drums in the bedroom, has he?
Well, actually, no.
You're not stupid, are you? You're not stupid, Laura. Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not. But I've got him an electronic drum kit. He can plug his headphones.
Fantastic. Merry Christmas to you, and thanks for making that group, and congratulations. Not at all. Anytime. Thanks, Laura. That was Laura there, and I'm going to give Jodie a shout back now. Jodie was going to be on with me a few minutes ago, and there was a horrible delay and echo on the line. Listen, a lot of people are trying to get through. I promise I'll get to every one of you, even if we go over a little bit, right? I'll get to every one of you, I promise. Joe is trying to get through again. Joe... I tried to connect with Joe and there was a problem. I'll get back to you, Joe, don't worry. Scottish John in Austin in Texas. We'll definitely make a bit of time for Scottish John, the big yin. In the meantime, let's hope that the sound issues with Jodie are sorted. Are you there, Jodie?
I'm here.
Thanks.
Hello.
Thanks be to God. And you're in Manchester, somewhere in, we'll say somewhere in Greater Manchester. Welcome to the programme. Merry Christmas.
You too, Richie. How are you doing?
Not too shabby. A bit better than I was over the weekend. My mate came around at the weekend, my mate John. We watched the Gaelic football final. John went home and then I got a bit depressed about the week and what it was going to look like. But I gave myself a slap this morning, Jodie. And I said, no, I'm going to enjoy it. How are you feeling, more importantly?
Was it a slap or a glass of Bacardi?
No, I gave myself a slap this morning. No Bacardi in the morning. Give over, Jodie. Give over. No, I'll have a couple of Bacardis over the Christmas. I had a couple of drinks over the weekend, but I'm a good boy during the week. How are you feeling about it? How are you shaping up for it?
I'm all right. I'm good as I can be. But I'd like to talk about FOSS, the philosophy of small pleasures, and having a routine in life during this hard time. Because I listen to the show, I watch the news, but I'm not going to lie, I've gone absolutely mad about all of it. I've been drinking loads, I've felt depressed and horrible, and just people are like shouting at themselves, driving like lunatics, you know, everybody's going mad. But I've just been trying to bring it down to, I've resided to the fact that I can't change the world, I can't stop what's going on. And it's very difficult, even if we come together like we are doing, it's not making a great impact. So I've been thinking, well, my life carries on, my day-to-day life carries on, so what am I going to do? So it's things like having a hot bath, seeing my family, playing with my baby nephew, having a glass of wine, having a nice chat with my parents, you know, things that I can do to make myself feel good. And one of those is not reading the news. So I'm trying to rationalize it by thinking, well, the world's going to keep spinning, but I can make myself feel a bit happier by doing the things that I like and trying to ignore the virus.
And ignoring the news, does that is there an instantaneous result once you stop listening to it?
Of course. I mean, I look at the news. I do look at the news every day for about 10 minutes in the morning, and then I'll normally listen to your show most times. Every day I listen, but I have to get it from other channels because I can't just listen to you all the time. I mean, you might be lying to me.
Absolutely right.
I know that you wouldn't, but it's not good to be in an echo chamber.
You're right, 100%. I wish everybody was like you. Listen to lots and lots of different sources, particularly in the independent media. And you'll know yourself, because you're an intelligent person, you'll know what's right and what isn't right. No, that's a very good point. I wonder how people listen to me every day, to be honest. With because of the fact that for 9.5, 10 months, I've not really covered anything else. I can't believe people are still listening to it. So,
I was thinking about that before I rang you up, and I'm not going to lie, because I think you need honest feedback. I mean, I got bored of listening, but yeah. It won't bore you. I was bored of everything in life. I felt completely apathetic towards everything.
Yeah.
However, it was like every day, corona, 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 and you do make it funny, but how much can one person take? And that's why I'm so pleased that you're here, because you've stuck it out. But when you, a few weeks ago, got really pent up with it, and I could tell when I was listening to the show that you weren't enjoying doing it.
Yeah.
And I went online and I seen everyone saying, we need you, Richie, we need you. And I thought, bollocks to that. You do exactly what you want to do. If you're going to say tonight, I'm not doing the show ever again, I'll give you a pat on the back, because you've done it. You don't owe us anything.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's taken a toll, but doing that day in, day out, and being basically a single issue programme and struggling to do anything else. I made the point that I felt, and I'm sure other producers felt the same thing, if you were to go and do Crop Circles, or if you were to go and do something else, that would almost be like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. You know, it would feel ridiculous to be doing that while the COVID story was changing every day and it was getting more outrageous. So yeah, it got to me in November. I thought, I can't carry on with this anymore. How many more doctors can we interview that know that we're being lied to and that there's a very terrible agenda at play here? How many more days can you do the same thing? And yeah, and I wasn't being modest at all when I said to my partner, I said, I can't believe people are still listening to it. Like, I mean, I know how boring it's getting. You know, I'm sitting here doing it, but and yet here we are. Here we are today.
Here we are talking
still talking about it. Yeah, I know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I don't just speak for myself. I'm sure a lot of other listeners could hear that you were bored of it, or you were tired of it, or it was frustrating. But it's not you alone. Everyone's frustrated by it, because you're in the position of how much longer can I do this every day, talking about it every day. But for everybody, it's how much longer can we live like this? You know, it's totally inhuman, it's wrong. And the mental gymnastics are just incredible, because it's made me feel like the emotions that I feel, I think I'm doubting myself all the time, you know, because I spent so long online looking at all these like theories and evidence and whatever. I just feel totally confused, and I spend a lot of my time going through my days almost like an observer, because it's too mentally taxing on me. I don't know what to do about it anymore. But that's why I said I'm trying to focus on the small things, the things that I can do myself, which for me is a lot of volunteering, helping elderly people, helping children, trying to make a difference in my own community. But then at the end of the day, I always get in bed and think, fucking hell, is this still going on? Is this ever going to end?
That's it. And of course, one of the things I suppose disturbing things is that realization that the vast majority of people are never going to take a second look at it, and they're going to go along with it. And that's the problem, Jody, you know, that's the problem. I've got shed loads of calls. So if there's anything else you want to say before I move on, I'm glad you called in. You didn't phone me from Northern Quarter one day, did you?
Yeah, that was me. I think I've been on twice on the last call in. I were trying my hardest, but I were driving when it was the call in.
I'm with you.
Now, all I wanted to say is I'm very appreciative. I love your work. Keep it up. But like I said, if you put out a tweet tomorrow and say you're never doing it again, that's up to you.
Yeah, who knows? You never know. You never know what's going to be. Who knows where we're going to be next spring, next summer, next autumn. I think finally, before I wish you a Merry Christmas, I think the decision will probably be taken out of our hands. And by our hands, I mean independent content creators in this country are going to be focused on next year, and it's going to become more difficult to do it, I think. And I know I've been saying that for some time, but I think it might be taken out of our hands next year. You better be impressed by my memory, by the way. I remember that Northern Quarter call. I remember thinking, Christ, I'd love to be down there with you having a beer.
I think you could have joined me that day.
Yeah, I could have done. I could have just gave up and just shut it down and and came and had a glass with you. Jody, Merry Christmas. Lovely to hear from you again.
You too. Thanks, Richard.
Not at all. Anytime. Jody there. And yeah, she makes a very good point, you know. Several very good points, by the way. Look, I'm going to tell you, I can see the queue here. So I've got Joe, because I said I would get Joe on. I answered Joe, and there was a problem with the call. I've got John in Austin. Would you believe Lakey Skouras, who was on with us 3 or 4 phone-ins ago? Lakey is Spiro's dad. We'll definitely make time for him, of course. We'll make time for everybody. I'll get you all on today. In the meantime, let's say hello to Joe. And I think we might actually have Joe. Are you there, Joe?
I'm here. Are you there?
Thanks be to God. I can hear you loud and clear. Where are you calling from?
Hi, Richie. I'm Joe, and I'm calling from Stevenage in Hertfordshire.
Ah, another Hertfordshire caller. Joe, you're very welcome. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine, yes.
All geared up for the festivities, or couldn't care less? How do you feel about it?
I'm a pagan, but still I still like Christmas. I'm excited, but sad at the same time. My mother, she thinks she has COVID. She's getting a test done, and I said to her that there's a lot of false positives. She knows about what I'm my side of things, but she's not. She's still on the. She still watches the news, so there's that.
She's aware of how you feel and think about it, and she's open to listening to that. But at the same time, she's watching the evening news on the BBC, and it's telling her that her life is in danger, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. And what is she thinking, Joe? Is she thinking it's better that we don't see each other over the Christmas?
Yes, yes.
Wow. Do you mind me asking you how old is she? Because if she's over a certain age, they would have offered her the vaccine by now.
She's in her 50s.
Well, she's young. Is she a young lady?
Yes.
She's in her 50s and she's healthy. She doesn't have to worry about it.
My stepdad, she's married to my stepdad, John, and he's in his 70s, 72.
And how does John feel about it?
He's set in his ways big time. He still gets his flu jabs every year, so he's...
This is some constant dilemma. Every time I bump into somebody who is open to the alternative media, like yourself, every time, Joe, this is the dilemma they're facing. You know, they've got relatives that they love to bits and would do anything for, and yet the relatives just don't see it, can't see it, or don't want to see it, and you're in this situation then. I mean, there's so many people.
It's the same with the EU thing, you know. It's...
Yeah. And what do? Do you have to bite your tongue? Are you just patient and say, all right, Mum, if that's the way it's got to be, we'll wait till the new year? I mean, I don't think there's anything else you can do.
I started listening to your show in late 2014, and my mum knew I was acting differently because that was my waking up time, and I got very upset, and then I got angry, and that was she knew this in 2014. She smashed my tablet, and she was so upset. She was worried about me big time. But over the years, up to now, I've just calmed down so much, and I'm just not forcing it on anyone.
Yeah. And you feel a million times better by not doing that, because I've seen people get vexed frustrated at not being able to get through to people. And it can, that can be devastating, and it can, you know, induce anxiety and anger and everything. Yeah. I want to go back to 2014 now. If I'm getting too personal, tell me to piss off and I won't ask any questions. But you said then you began, to look at different material, maybe began to read some books. Was there something that made you upset that had your mum worrying so much about you? What was it? Was there one thing? Was there an incident? Did something happen?
Yes.
You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
I'll talk about it. It's fine. Perfect. I think it helps. Generally, I can't remember what I was talking about, but I remember like thinking to myself, oh, the Queen, oh, the soldiers are following orders for no reason, and I was in a mess. I was just in a big mess, and I can't put my finger on it. I can't quite remember. It's a long time ago. I'm 29 now, so that was I was quite young still. So.
Yeah. It's horrendous when, I mean, I remember when I read the book about September the 11th and was pretty aghast. I've used that word today already. But I was aghast, and I didn't want to really believe some of the claims that David Icke made in that book. And then I cross-referenced most of what was claimed, and I was pretty low as well. I can say I was pretty low. And very, very self-loathing, because I'd worked in the media on the day itself, and I'd been telling people that it was the madman in the cave, and, you know, it's all nicely knitted together, you know, nothing to see here, terrorists and job done. And I remember feeling pretty low. It's a lot to deal with when you realise that everything you ever held sacred is all of a sudden questionable. It's almost like the ground is shifting under your feet, isn't it, a bit, Joe? Like you don't feel that you're on stable ground all of a sudden. So, of course, that's bound to have a big effect on you. Yeah.
I'd like to talk about going forward. And it's not easy, is it? I listen to other channels as well, and ones that explore...
solutions.
Getting out in nature.
Yeah.
And it's to do with megaliths and our ancient culture that left these monuments behind that hold energy and...
big old stone structures.
Yes.
That we wonder, could human beings possibly have erected some of these things on their own? Or under their own steam. Give us an idea now of one or two of these megalithic structures. What have we got in the UK apart from Stonehenge? We've got plenty, haven't we?
There are places... yes, we have, yes. In the Lake District, near there. And I haven't got the names to... I'm not big time into it. I want to get into it, actually, this year. Next, 2021. There's a group on Facebook now where you can go on a tour. It's not a big one, it's a little thing, but it's a start, and that's my tribe going forward, I think.
So tell us about the energy then. I love this, I'm fascinated by this. So you I had a lady on the show years ago talking about this. I should have done more on it, really. She also talked about ley lines and stuff like that, and fascinating stuff now. So you think that these places, they've got an energy all of their own?
Yes, I do. I'm not sure on the ley line thing, but...
Yeah, forget the ley lines. That's just my nonsense. Forget that. The structures themselves, there's some sort of positive energy going on there, and that it can be therapeutic or even educational to spend time in these places.
I think the stones have had energy put into them maybe in the past, and... somehow, you know, a low hum or something, humming when people group together and hum, you know?
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Not chanting particularly, but humming.
Chanting and humming.
Chanting and humming, yeah.
It sounds airy-fairy.
It doesn't. No, listen, these are... Well, there was a time when I would have dismissed this sort of thing out of hand. It's what I used to do. You know, yeah. That's great, I would have said, Joe. But then when you'd gone, I'd go, what a loony. You know? But not anymore, because I've seen some strange things, Joe. And I've borne witness to strange things as well. Before, I'm getting hammered with calls, so I'm going to move on pretty quickly. Right. I'll explore this in the programme. I know of a guest who will come on and talk about this monolith and energy. So I will do that. I'll make a promise. I'll do that early on in the new year. You're in a good place now. In a better place now.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
I'm taking natural testosterone at the moment. And I've been looking into alternative medicine. And it's just this saw palmetto liquid that it's from a plant, and I took it late last year, and it really made my masculine energy come out better.
Right.
And I was more confident, and now so I'm taking it now as well, and it's my workout routines of tenfold, you know. So if I would like to, I'd just like to put that out there that men, would you try to increase your testosterone? That might help in productivity in your life.
Funny you say that, because I'm sure I read a story in the Telegraph newspaper. It must have been the Telegraph, and it was earlier this year. I'm sure I read a story about testosterone levels in men being very low in general. And this is problematic. So it's funny. It's funny you bring that up, Joe. Joe, I'll get into this in the future, mate. I'm glad you phoned in. Glad, really nice to meet you.
Thank you, Richie.
Not at all. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
And continue the patient approach with your mum and your stepdad. Because you love them. And they'll get there in the end, won't they?
They will.
As we all will,
confident,
mate.
Confident.
Merry Christmas, Joe. Lovely to meet you. That was Joe there in Hertfordshire. Got to say it properly. It's not Hertfordshire. It's Hertfordshire. Let's speak to Scottish John. In Austin. How are things in Austin there, Scottish John?
Hello, Richie.
How are you doing? You all right?
Oh, not too bad, pal. Not too bad.
Nice
it's
to
great
speak to, you
to
again.
Talk to you again.
Yeah,
it's
my
been
pleasure.
A long time, mate.
So you're in Austin, of course. What does Christmas look like in Austin?
Oh, I'm trying not to look at it, mate. I've never been a fan of Christmas, to tell you the truth. I just think it's a commercial bloody circus, and it's never gotten any better. But listen, because you've got so many callers, I'll just try and rattle through here dead quick. I thought with it being Christmas week, I'd lighten it up a bit, and I've got a wee song for you that I wrote years ago.
You've
and
got
let
a
me
song.
Just give you the I'll give you the background of it.
Yeah.
When I arrived in Austin, I was staying at a place called the International Youth Hostel. There's a chain of them throughout the States. And there was this local free paper sitting on a table, and I picked it up, and I'm having a look. And lo and behold, here's an Irish pub called Fideau downtown, and it shows the English Premier League football, or soccer, if there's any Americans listening. And me, like you, being a big Man United fan, they happened to be showing a Man United game that Saturday morning. So I went down there, and lo and behold, man, this place was full of expat Brits and Irishmen, you know. So that became my home from home for more years than I care to bloody mention. And there was a bunch of us, they used to play a lot of live music in there, you know, they'd have Irish bands and what have you. And we started playing a wee kind of jam session thing out in the back porch on a Saturday afternoon. And somebody came up with the idea of forming a band that we would play Springsteen songs and Scottish and Irish folk songs.
Brilliant.
So I says, yeah, I'm game with that. I was a big Springsteen fan for years. So one of my Scottish buddies comes up with a name for the band. He says, let's call it the Skitters.
The Skitters?
The Skitters.
Does that mean anything?
Well, don't you know what it means?
No, I don't.
Oh,
Skitter,
I assumed you would. Well,
no.
The Skitters, I'm just trying to think of a clean way of putting this. The Skitters I would describe as... when your fecal matter is
the scutters,
on the runny side.
The scutters, we say in Ireland. The scutters.
Oh.
Yeah. S-C-U-T-T-E-R. Yes, yeah, scutters, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the one. I should. Yeah.
So I just got this idea for writing a song called "The Skitter's Hum."
Right.
And actually, the song took over and wrote itself. But before I do that for you, I'd just like to do one other little thing. You know, it was Jean Anne's birthday there, and Jean Anne was very kind enough to become a Facebook friend of mine. And because I know you hold her in such high esteem, Richie, I'm just so flattered that she accepted my Facebook request. Now, I heard you doing a little limericks last Friday there, and I'd like to share with you a couple of mine. There was a Facebook pal of mine up in Scotland the other day there, had a load of these Jack and Jill things on his page, and I came up with this one. Jack and Jill went up the hill to escape the deadly virus. Jack came down with a great big smile, says, "I've just bonked Miley Cyrus."
Right.
Now, years ago, I was inspired by the Bill Clinton episode to come up with this one. And I'll clean it up for you. I'll blank the bad word in it.
Well, you don't have to. Hang on a second. If anybody's listening with children, just turn down your device for a couple of seconds. John's going to be rude now. Unless it's the C word, don't use the C word. But no, any other word you can use, yeah. Go on, go ahead then. Go on.
Hillary Dillery Dock, she wouldn't suck Billy Boy's cock. But Monica would, and she did it good. But she can't get the stain off the frock.
The dress, yeah. I remember it. I remember it well.
Right. Okay, now here's...
Now, how long is this song going to take? Hey, Jesus wept and all of that.
No,
you know?
I can only remember three verses. And I'll dedicate the first verse to your first caller there, Rose, whose granny was from Derry, okay?
Lovely. Good memory. Good all man, right. Yeah.
So here we go. Here we go.
In memory of Rose, by the way, we've got to say, right. Who passed away, yeah.
Now, over in Merry England, in a place called London Town, there's a bird on the scene, the call of the Queen. You can't miss her, she wears a crown. Now, the royals don't get skitters, for that would be unfair. So when Queenie lets one go, they call it London Derry Air. The skitter's hum comes for your bum. Don't tell your mum you've got the hum, little hum, dum, dum. In France, 200 years ago, sat Marie Antoinette. Her arse was covering the porcelain and her knickers were soaking wet. But not one man could lay his hand upon her lovely titters until Marie could get rid of the arm of the skitters. I just made that bit up. Now, the last bit is, it reminds me, when you were talking about Nicola Sturgeon not shutting down Santa the other week.
Yeah.
Here was a verse that was written about Santa. It's Christmas Eve and we're waiting for Santa Claus to come. So we left him out some mince pies and a nice big glass of rum. Well, we woke up Christmas morning, twiddle-dee and twiddle-dum. But our Christmas wasn't white, it was covered in shite because Santa got the skitters home.
Oh, fantastic. And it works even better with scutters. You got to change it.
Scutters.
The scutters,
Ricky,
yeah.
If I fucking known that at the time, I would have fucking called it the scutters.
So you obviously sang in the skitters then. You sang. You were the singer, yeah, obviously. You got a fair pair of pipes on you there, John. I'm impressed.
I've been singing for years, mate.
Yeah, you're a proper singer, yeah. You can carry a tune, all right. Yeah, scutters, that's what we say. You scutter in Egypt, we'd say.
Well,
sometimes.
None of the bloody Irishmen told me that. And the place was full of them.
Isn't it funny? You go to Austin in Texas and you stay at this international hostel and you go and you find this boozer and there's Irish people in there. And you know, I used to have a real downer on Irish people when I first left years ago because I was fed up of Ireland. And when you get fed up with your country, you kind of think you're fed up with the people. One of the things I did was I got a qualification in teaching English as a foreign language and I went off to Costa Rica. Everybody knows Costa Rica is in Central America, San Jose, the airport. Now, you can't get much further away from Ireland without actually coming back. That's how far away it is from Ireland if you look at the globe. And I had a downer on Ireland. And I arrived at the airport in San Jose at 4 o'clock in the morning from a flight in Miami. Got off, outside I went. I was waiting for a guy to come and pick me up, the guy whose digs I was going to be staying at. Next thing, a guy sidles up alongside me and he's got a rucksack and all that. And he looked at me and I looked at him and I said, "How are you?" And he went, "How are you?" And it was a fucking paddy. A fucking panic. I'd only gotten off the plane. The first guy I met, I was running away from my country. I really was running away. Properly running away. I was sick of it. And bastard Irish guy standing right next to me. I think I was rude. I actually think I was rude. I think I just turned my back at him and walked away thinking, what the fuck? Where, there's nowhere in the world you can get away from the Irish.
Well, let me, speaking of Irishmen, let me leave you quickly with this one. This is one of my favourite memories of a very special Irishman who went by the name of George Best. When I came over from Lurgan in County Armagh in 1972, and I was living in Altrincham, and my boss took me along to Old Trafford one night. It must have been a Wednesday night because it was an FA Cup fifth round replay against Southampton, and we stood in the Stretford End, and I still have this memory, Richie, in my mind's eye. It's as clear as if it happened 5 minutes ago. I saw George pick the ball up at about 7 o'clock in the centre circle, and he went through the Southampton team and scored this goal. And it was just one of the most magical moments I can remember.
Wow.
And just the fact that I got to see his last two seasons at Old Trafford, just precious, man. Absolutely precious.
You're blessed. And last night, the future missus and myself, we watched The Lawman on Sky Documentaries, the documentary about, well, Scotland's greatest ever footballer, Dennis Law.
And oh, Dennis.
It's a beautiful film. And Dennis is in it quite a bit. It was filmed this year. He's 80 now. I didn't realise he was getting on, but he's 80. And he's in, there's a lot of him on camera talking about going to the World Cup in 74, you know, getting knocked out without losing, not playing in the 68 final, the 63 FA Cup final, starting off at Aberdeen. It's brilliant, John, if you get a chance to see it now. It really is brilliant.
Well, now, you've just prompted me to tell you another quick story, and I promise this will be the last one.
Go ahead. Go on.
Now,
plenty of time.
I used to live up in Bolden, which is kind of posh part of Altrincham, and I was sharing a flat in there with a couple of people. One of them was a single mum. And she asked me this day, she says, look, they're having sports day at the school. Would you like to be part of the thing, you know, like kind of my son's sub-father? I says, aye, sure. Well, we're having a football match. Well, guess who else had children at the school?
Go on.
And he lived just round the corner from us, and I never knew this at the time, but Dennis.
Was it Dennis, was it? Wow.
Yeah. So we had the footy game, and you know what, mate? He gave me one of his Scotland bloody football shirts. And I had that fucking shirt in that suitcase that I had stolen here in Austin years ago.
Ah, John, did you? Wow.
Yeah.
What a
kick
in the teeth that is. To get a shirt, being a Scotsman, to get a Scottish jersey from Dennis Law.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll leave it at that, mate. Thanks for having me on, Richie. And love you to death, man. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Merry
Christmas.
You're
keeping us alive. I swear to God, man.
You've put a smile 3 foot wide across my face today, mate. And a lot of people listening as well, if you look on Twitter. Brilliant.
All right. Well,
chatting to you, John. Merry Christmas, buddy. Speaking
cheers,
the new
mate.
Year.
All the best to you.
Can't wait. Thanks for that. And thanks for the lovely, kind words about the great Jean-Ann Crowley. Great. Often used. Overused. Maybe I overuse it, maybe. Sometimes. But Jean-Ann is great. Love Jean-Ann. Jean-Ann is trying to produce this show, you know? Trying to produce it. She's sending me little messages there on Facebook telling me what to do as if I need a producer, you know. But anyway, Jeanette was next. I'm trying to connect with Jeanette. I hope I have her. Are you there, Jeanette? Hello, Jeanette? Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, it's not Jeanette, but it's somebody using Jeanette's phone. Who am I speaking with?
It is, mate. I had to get a bit of subterfuge in there, Richie. Oh. It's Donnie from Brighton, mate.
How you doing, Donnie in Brighton?
I'm good, mate. How are you doing?
Actually, I'm not too shabby.
A bit hoarse today, Richie. It's not like you.
Say that again.
You sound a little bit hoarse today.
Yeah, well, having company in the house over the weekend, I tend to talk more than I ordinarily do. I give the voice a good rest at the weekend. I was watching the Gaelic football, Donnie, Mayo against Dublin, and probably got a bit overexcited. I ordinarily rest the voice. What's going on the south coast then? Same old, same old.
Mate, it's just sheer lunacy, isn't it? It's literally like we're genuinely living in a madhouse, Richie, aren't we? It's insane, mate. Yeah, and I've got the pleasure, and it reminds me of a witty anecdote you said you were going to think about. I know you were only tongue in cheek, but I drive in for Uber at the moment, Richie, and when you were saying that I just fancy just ditching it and driving and talking to people in the car.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, mate, I've taken one for the team on that front. I assure you, it's not a gig you want right now. You're driving Karens around for chump change. Can't wait. Yeah, oh God, mate, honestly, they can't wait to leap on the old social credit system and downgrade you for any reason, mate. If you express an opinion different to the mainstream narrative, they now, and we know Uber are a cabal-level company, they now can give me a one for level of service and flag me up for a verbal altercation, mate.
Oh, this is so important. This is so important. This is so important. Yes, because the very first I ever came across grading somebody was when we began to use eBay for the first time. We did this grading people. And of course,
mind that, but go on.
Yeah, you could probably more understand it with eBay because you don't want to have shysters selling stuff and kind of screwing people over. But now I can see how with Uber, how it really looks like social crediting. We use Uber. We do. I've gotten some Ubers recently for Caroline when I've not been able to drive her because I've been working or whatever. And yeah, because it's my account, I immediately get asked to grade the driver.
Yeah, it's mental, isn't it, mate? It's literally mental. Wow. I can't believe it because as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'm the same age as you. I'm not some clutching my pearl social justice warrior.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Unless something goes down, you're getting a five. I don't even have to like you, you know? You can say a bunch of crap, but I don't like it. It's none of my business.
Just get me from A to B. That's all. I mean, if a driver gets me from A to B and if the car is clean, I don't care if he's a Nazi. I'll give him a five.
I mean, and the palaver before people get in the car now because they're so nervous about everything, Richie. I mean, this isn't why I called, but anyway. You know, they'll just jump in a taxi, but they'll check the registration plate. They'll check your name. Is it you? And like absolute walking around the car like a nervous wreck. And it's like, if this is a taxi, you just get in. And now they're sending PIN codes and stuff to confirm it's you. It's like, this is bloody batshit crazy. It's anyway, cabal level company, isn't it? So they're just orchestrating the division, if you ask me. And just to finish on Uber, it's definitely not why I called. It's like you used to be able to compliment the driver. They took that away. When somebody gave you a tip, it alerted you and encouraged you to say thanks. They took that away. Anything that's promoting, I don't know, let's call it love if you want, or life, is Uber, cabal level company, there, it's being taken away, mate. And people are being encouraged to do the opposite.
And how many,
that's kind of significant.
Absolutely. And how many taxi drivers of old have given up? Now, I'm not blaming you for that. I totally understand why you're driving an Uber, and rightly so. Everybody's got to earn. But it screwed taxis, really, didn't it? It's done a lot of damage.
Yeah, I think so. I empathize with them to a large extent. I mean, if you've got the sort of mind that can memorize the entirety of London, hats off to you, mate. You know what I mean? It's like, and then Uber come along and anyone can do it and you just sign up and they scythe the legs out from under the, economically speaking. I mean, I can pick someone up and get £3.50, mate, having lugged them luggage in and out of a car.
You've answered my next question. I didn't know what sort of percentages are at play here, you know. So I'll give you an example. So the future missus wants to go to Swinton, which is not too far from Salford. And
my granddad used to have a pub there, mate, called the Station Hotel.
In Swinton, is that right? Yeah.
It's a
small world.
I'm born in Amsterdam, mate. And my dad's Irish, so just to try and make you like me more, Richie.
I like you anyway, I like you anyway. So yeah, so from here you're talking it's a couple of miles, really. And it might only be 4 or 5 quid or 6 quid. So the driver is not getting the lion's share of that then? What are you talking about?
Well, he gets the lion's share in terms of mathematics, but Uber takes 25%, mate. So what the customer's actually paying is a reasonable fee, but once they take their fee, it's not at all.
It's not worth your while.
You're driving Karens around for chump change, mate, whilst they literally get to downgrade you and try and get you fired.
I hope you live a long life, Danny. But no, I really do. But it's got to go on your tombstone. Here lies Donny. He drove Karens around for chump change.
Mate, Richie, would you mind if I change tack?
Tell us what you came on. Tell us.
Really, what I want to do, if I can, is I think that even the people that we listen to the whole time, the experts that come on the show, everybody, I think a big, basically, a big thing is being missed, a big thing that will help everybody. And that's that we have to now, in my opinion, accept the fact that the world is orchestrated by a very tiny elite. The fact any kind of discussion otherwise is kind of, it's way shy of the mark, mate. And if I could just it'll only take me a couple of minutes, just outline how central banking works and how it literally intertwines the whole world. just so people can understand it better. And then, as you've been saying recently, Richie, there's a whole bunch of new listeners, right? You might have doubled your listenership, and I think it would be beneficial for them to be able to understand it more and be able to fire back at their friends who think that this whole, you know, everything's just too fantastic.
We do cover it to death on this program, though, Donnie. I'm reluctant to get into it because...
Give me 60 seconds, Richie, and you can can me anytime you like, mate. It's your show.
No, I wouldn't be canning you or interrupting you. But, I mean, for the vast majority of us, we know how this works. But I because it's your call and I'm a man of my word, absolutely go ahead. But
let me take it to... I just want it to be understandable and, more importantly, repeatable for other people. Because that's the issue here. Most people think everything that's going on is too fantastical. There's no way that it could be global orchestration. So let me just put it like this. In this country, the UK, Bank of England, private central bank. Every single central bank around the world, for the listeners, is a privately owned central bank. And if you do any kind of investigation, the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve, the ECB, it doesn't matter what bank in what country you go to. If you do any investigation, they're all owned by the same criminal cartel. That goes through the International Monetary Fund all the way to the top of the pyramid to the Bank of International Settlements and the World Bank. Once that penny drops, then you can start to analyze it from a different perspective. And that's the perspective of thus. At the central bank level, at the level of orchestration, there are no such thing as borders. Literally no such thing as borders. That's for chumps like us to fight over, stick a uniform on. And go and fight and die for. I think people need to really get that fundamental issue grasped in their heads so the penny can drop on everything else and be in the possibility that it's orchestrated, because it does seem fantastical to anyone that's new to this, Richie. But once the penny drops, that the financial system is orchestrated this way, then people can start taking it more seriously.
It's the one issue that if we were given the ability to wave a wand and make everybody understand it, that's the issue. You're absolutely right. The whole...
I think it needs to be articulated in a manner that anyone can understand, you know. And I've been looking into things for 10 years, so I hope I've got a unique perspective. And I never had the vocabulary 10 years ago, Richie. I was an ex-infantry soldier. I was a mercenary in Iraq. And I never go past a word anymore that I don't understand. So consequently, I like to think, and I do have a channel I wish to plug as well, Richie.
Plug away.
I like to think that I can put things in a manner that's understandable for the ex-infantry grunt that I was. And I can even debate so-called economists that believe that the system is okay and there's no great issues with it, right? Because they don't understand. Even economists don't understand the mechanisms that I've just described. They actually don't. They're still economists and that believe that the monetary system is backed by gold and silver, right? So I think this is a fundamental issue here for people to grasp, that not only are new to this, but the ones that are in... trying to enlighten us this whole time. If I don't want to pick on anyone in particular, but I might have to. I mean, for example, you've got the likes of Maria Heller talking about how we need to go back to paper voting, Richie. What good's that going to do? If we don't expose this cabal, there is no future, unless we're analysing what's going on from the perspective of thus, knowing that this is actually the case, then there'll be no victory, mate.
I think Maria gets it. Every time I speak with Maria Heller, I point out that it doesn't matter. And she agrees. She agrees it doesn't matter. I think Maria...
She analysed it like that, though, Richie. Like, what we need to do is go back to paper voting. You've got two sock puppets that the cabal control.
Of course.
And that's the only way we need to be analysing that situation.
But what
Anything
it is...
below that is counterproductive, if you ask me.
I don't think it's counterproductive. I think she knows what's going on. But I also think she has a large audience, most of which are still in that mindset that, you know, Bernie would have been okay. Would have been
Phil
better.
I know, and that, but the fact is it's incorrect, Richie, so there's no point. I think it's literally...
What do you want me to do? Ban people from the program who see the world differently to me?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they need to accept that this is going on. Perhaps they need to let the penny drop that this is orchestrated worldwide. There are no borders. US trying to trade wars, Israel... Russia spat Iran at the level of orchestration. We collectively need to accept that this is what's going on.
But do you know how funny this is?
I'm talking about the shadows on the wall, otherwise.
Do you know how funny this is? One of the most interesting interviews I did on the subject was with the economist Steve Keane.
I remember that one, yeah.
And Keane acknowledged that it makes no sense for Richie to borrow from the Bank of Richie and then to pay the Bank of Ritchie back within. He acknowledged it, but he still, couldn't get past the mental block. And when I said, well, basically that's a massive conspiracy, and economies are crashed in order to funnel real wealth to those who created our artificial money, Keane said to me, and he meant it, he wasn't a shill, he said, well, you could look at it that from that kind of conspiratorial way if you wanted to, Richie, but he still couldn't see that. He actually couldn't see it.
It's like a, yeah. What do they call that thing in China, the firewall?
It's
literally like something that blocks people. Like with this COVID now, you know, as ludicrous as it gets, you'll still get the mantras back. And I hear them in the car all the time, you know. I was like trying to have a normal conversation with a brainwashed systemite the other day, saying, putting out the 0.26% and why do we need a vaccine for the 99.74% of people that aren't going to be affected? And the mantras come back your way. I said, and it's been rushed out in record time. Do you know what she said, Richie? Oh, the reason that we haven't got vaccines so fast in the past is because lack of funding.
Right.
And I was just like,
Lack
of funding, mate. Billion-dollar pharmaceutical corporation. And I thought to myself, I don't watch the mainstream media, as you can imagine. And thank you, and I feel sorry for you for having to do it. But I just thought they must plant these little mantras on there, you know, so people end up discussing so far back from where the issues really are, but they encourage debate in those areas. I had another one today. They said, she started complaining that Boris should never have promised us Christmas. He should have just kept us locked down. And I was like, whoa, we shouldn't be in a position where anyone gets to dictate over us. And then she ended up agreeing. She agreed the whole time, but the mantras come back, Richie.
I think again, you've hit on something very interesting. Many people know on some level, maybe at the cellular level, maybe they know. Even when they're saying, oh, it's great, we should be locked down, or I can't wait for the vaccine. On some level, many of them feel wrong. They don't feel right about it, but it's easier to go along with it.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's imperative to articulate the criminal central banking system in a manner that the 20-year-old infantry soldier that was me can go, that's how they do it, you know? And then everything else becomes a possibility that can be discussed on a better level. Because once you understand that, that's the world is controlled through that, and there are no borders at that level. And so when somebody's rightly skeptical that, oh, there's no way they're orchestrating this on a global level, look at the central banking system. Who's in charge of that? And the same compartmentalized pyramidal structure applies to all of the corporations, all of the governments, all of the alphabet agencies, whether that's the intelligence CIA or the World Health Organization, the same machinations filter right down through society. And if you go up the food chain, you'll meet the same gang of twats. And I nearly said the C word, but waiting for the T there. This needs to be understood, Richie. It's not being
the machinations of it aren't being
addressed enough for people to understand.
I don't know.
I wouldn't mind plugging if you don't mind now.
I'm going to move on. You can do that before, but I want to move on quickly. I want to take one or two more calls. So you can do that. Before we do that, though, it's probably the first time I've ever spoken about myself. Nobody in radio ever has articulated that agenda better than I have. I have simplified that to the point where you could teach a three-year-old what's going on. And I've looked at people as I've been explaining it to them, and they've looked through me as if I'm not there.
Yeah,
I've had
a lot of success with it in the car, though, mate. And I've got my patter, my rehearsed explanation of said system into like 60 seconds. And if anyone's left in possession of their own mind, which is very few now, it's very rare I meet a human being in that car. But if they can still think for themselves, still discern for themselves, the penny drops instantly. And I think it's a very powerful weapon. I really do. And I've been trying to plug away at that.
Give a plug for the channel before I move on. Go on.
I'm Donnie Wozman, mate. DonnieWozman. Donnie Wozman. I'm on the heavily shadow banned channel on YouTube, but I'm also on brand YouTube, BitChute, Library. I take the piss out of the CNN headlines because I understand the global financial system and how it works, and none of them make sense, Richie, once you understand on a certain level.
Send me a tweet and I'll retweet it, Donnie. Send me a tweet and I'll retweet it. And in the meantime,
I'm not on Twitter, mate. It's a...
I'll put it out there. I'll find the channel and I'll put a link out there.
It looks like a killing field, Twitter. Only time you ever hear about it is when somebody's slaughtered. Banned. I just didn't see the point.
Merry Christmas, mate.
You'll
be busy over the next few days.
Not at all. When this all started, I cancelled every unnecessary direct debit, but not yours, Big BG.
You're a
gentleman. You are necessary, mate. I really appreciate what you do. Donnie Wozman again, because I don't have tweet. Appreciate your time, Richard.
Not at all, mate. Merry Christmas. Donnie will be busy, obviously, driving an Uber over the next few days, I have no doubt. Or will he be busy with the way things are going? What I can tell you is that the press conference with Boris Johnson, where he was flanked by, among others, Patrick Vallance, didn't last very long. And Vallance is the chief scientific advisor, yes, not officer. And he said that further restrictions are likely to be introduced in England to deal with this new variant of coronavirus. And yes, you've guessed it, nobody in the media, of course, the media is zooming in to these press conferences, the media are not present, and nobody challenged any of this. It's just being rinsed and repeated by the media. I mentioned about a half an hour or so ago that my pal Spiro Skouras, the journalist, whom I have a lot of respect for, he's on activistpost.com, he's on YouTube as well, Spiro Skouras, and he's been booted off Twitter, temporarily or permanently, I have no idea. A few months back, we bumped into his dad, a great guy, former soldier, and spoke to us at great lengths about his career and about vaccine injury. And we've only got a few minutes, sadly, but we'll say a quick hello to the one and only Lakey Skouras. How you doing? Welcome back.
Hi, Richie. Oh, it's so great. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. It has been a while. I'm delighted that you're back on. How are you? How are you doing?
Awesome. We're getting through this. You know, lost the job. Not a lot of stuff opened up for what I was doing as far as like the nightlife, and so it's frustrating because I had this time last year I had my sights set on a very fruitful and successful year coming up, and here we are a year later, and I can't believe the brakes were slammed on by this entire mess. But I wanted to say and start this, first of all, your show is just the greatest. I mean, I know there's a lot of content creators out there that do podcasts and YouTubes and what have you, but as far as the radio and getting it on there, and you said that, the redundancy of what you're saying, but the important thing to me is I always listen to your show because I could count on getting unfiltered, unbiased, the most current, news that's going on every day, because it's in flux, like you said, and it's changing every day.
Thanks for saying that, Lakey. You don't have to say that, but I really appreciate it. Yeah, a lot of work goes into it, but it's nice. It's really kind of you to say that. And how do you feel about what you just said there, that things were going okay with the business, and then all of that has come to a stop? Does that take its toll on you? I mean, do you have to look after yourself, mentally? Because that's not easy.
No, it does. And your whole sleep, your sleep's affected by it, your dreams. I mean, ever since I got out of the Marine Corps, I've been dreaming almost on a nightly basis that they're coming to call me back, or I got a report, and I'm on some ship heading somewhere or something like that. But I would say, yeah, it's exacerbated that as far as psychologically. We do worry. But then, the thing that this has done is really brought me to just understanding, because I've always been into this stuff. I mean, I've been talking about this type of thing for 30 years. It just took me by surprise. I didn't realize it was going to come in the form of a pandemic and a total world shutdown. I always thought it was going to happen, with bombs exploding and this types of things. But it's made me really understand better that you have to control your feelings, and what you think and what goes through your mind, and take the worry out of it, and somehow have the confidence that, as individuals and then collectively, we could really see this thing through, because there's definitely a way. And I think it is waking up. If they talk about a higher consciousness and the new age and this type of thing, I was into all that for a long time. But I really do think that has to do with just the simple truth will set people free. Just if everybody knew what was going on, like our entire reality's fake. If everybody would just realize that, it would change overnight.
In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Yeah, it would.
I, I was going to bring up the banks, you know, and the last caller did a great job of explaining it. But yeah, you know, when you lend money to governments at interest and then they tax you back, and this is what's paying for everything. So if people would just realize it all begins and ends, whether it's religion, education, medicine, everything starts with the banks. And that's why everybody's going broke. I mean, who do we owe all this to? You know, all these foreclosures that we're going to start seeing and businesses closing. These people have been doing this for at least 100 years in this country, gobbling up the assets after every time they crash the economy. And here we are now, except it's happening on a global scale.
Do you have any hope that eventually enough people will see the train coming at them, that they will actually get together and attempt to do something about it? Do you think there's still a possibility that we'll rise and remember who we are and stop this, or are we doomed?
Yes, definitely. I get out in, I still get out, and there's some things happening still. You know, I'm a musician, so I've been not as busy as I would have been or would like to be, but I still get out there when I'm called up. And I'll tell you what, whether it's the old folks or the young folks, virtually everyone I talk to in these places, and I'm thoroughly convinced that that's why they've shut the pubs and the likes of these businesses down, is because when, you know, people congregate and, you know, a couple beers loosens the tongue, people really speak their mind. And I mean, the Marine Corps was born in a pub, for crying out loud. Yeah. And every one of these people that I talk to know what's going on. And it really surprises me, because I think exponentially the numbers have grown. And it's, you know, ironic that through their censorship and through this crisis, they've really exposed themselves at the same time. The more they try to cover up, the more obvious things become. So I still have a lot of faith in the people. My close circle of friends were always skeptical of a lot of the things that I was saying. Even weeks before this, up to weeks before this thing broke loose, this is at least one time a day in conversation, whether it's music, and it always turns around and comes back to these subjects that I've been talking about for a long time. And now they're telling me, you know, they're sending me stuff like via email and text, like, you know, that guy that was the conspiracy theorist all that time. Well, you know, we're beginning to think that he was right. So, yes, I do have a lot of confidence in the people.
And what about Christmas then? You know, in terms of your movement, people's movements have been very restricted here and they've introduced new restrictions. What's it like for you there, Lakey, you know, in terms of your family and Spiro and all of that? What can you do and what do you plan to do?
Well, in Arizona, they've imposed just recently a mandatory. They went from a curfew that was, you know, if you wanted to go in, close your business by 10, it was, but now they've mandated 10 o'clock closures. And they're not so much going for the individuals here that may be traveling around. They're looking for the businesses. And so I've heard here through tweets, and a guy named Daniel McCarthy was running for Senate here, very popular. And I think they railroaded him right out of the election when we had our senatorial election here. And so these people have been very vocal. And like I said, Arizonans are they want to, you know, they're very sovereign, you know, in their thinking. They don't want this government encroachment type of thing. So I think we don't have any plans that we're going to change. We still plan on getting together with friends and family. The sheriff here seems to be very good. And, you know, that's another thing. The sheriff in these, in the United States, in these counties, is the top law official,
the boss man
in this county, you know. So, yeah, the feds can't, you know, the feds can't encroach on that. And that's a misconception, I think, with a lot of people. They just say, oh, the feds are coming, you know, we'll just turn it over to them. But no, there's still a lot of good counties left, even though they're trying really hard to convince the people, like everywhere. But we're going to continue with our, you know, our plans. And I think that the family, they try to segregate the family right now. I mean, when you read the writings of these people, it's buried right there. If you read things like the Communist Manifesto, what have you, one of the first things they want to do is split up the family unit. And we're not having it here. I can guarantee that.
Brilliant to speak with you. I'm going to be chatting with Spiro on Wednesday. We've got an in-depth conversation. And one of the things he's going to be doing is he's going to be telling that Shane McGowan story. That is some story, isn't it? Let's tease it's the true. Bejesus out of the listeners. It's some story.
Well, you know, if it wasn't coming from Spiro, I would have a hard time believing it. Yeah. It's such an incredible story, but I know Spiro very well, and I'm very proud of what he's doing, and I know he just got banned on Twitter, like we were saying. It happened as I was looking at a tweet of his, and I try to re-click on it, and it said this account has been suspended. So that's the thing, you know. It's important for us to, you know, turn to outlets that we could count on. I know I could count on you. Everybody listening could count on you. And we're really looking forward to that in the new year, Richie. And I appreciate really, really everything that you do.
Not at all. And last time you were on, I said you should come back and talk more about your own experiences. And I meant that when I said it. But as usual, with me, things just get lost in the wash when you're a one-man band. So that's something you should remind me of in the very early new year. Because you've got a lot to say, and you've had some, you know, really interesting experiences. And just like Spiro, you're wonderfully articulate, Lakey. So, mate, can I wish you sincerely a really happy Christmas? Look after yourself, and hopefully, mate, things will happen in the new year, and you'll be back out there entertaining people again, and you know, doing what you love doing. I'd love that to happen in the new year. So, but Godspeed to you. Happy holidays, as you Philistines say over there in America. Happy holidays, happy Christmas, and I can't wait to speak again.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. I can't wait to, Richie. Thank you sincerely, and I look forward to it.
Legend. Thanks, Lakey. The great Lakey Skouras there. What a lovely man. And as I said, Spiro will be with us on Wednesday, and he has a story about Shane McGowan that when he told me, I laughed out loud a lot, and it's totally true. You couldn't make it up. As Lakey said there, he said if it hadn't been Spiro, he wouldn't have believed it. But I've been told a few tall tales over the years by people, and I know when my leg is being pulled. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. And he's going to tell us the Christmas story of sorts, really. I don't think it took place at Christmas, but, you know, it's Shane McGowan, of course, who... and I'm not going to play the song now. I'm going to save the song for Spiro. Look, that's it. Thanks to everybody who called in. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you. I'm sorry the phone line wasn't working. Don't ask me. There isn't anything wrong with it. I pay an annual fee for the phone number, and that's all up to date and it's all above board. I don't believe there's anything sinister going on. There's some technical glitch there, but quite a lot of people did try to phone me, people who don't have Skype, which meant they couldn't get on the programme because they don't have Skype, because the phone, when they rang the phone number, they were given a message saying the number is out of service. It isn't out of service. It isn't. I don't know what's going on there. I'm going to have to try and sort that out for January when we'll be obviously doing another phone in and all of that. So look, thanks for ringing in to all of you who did get through. And I really enjoyed listening to you. And, you know, I look forward to doing them again in the new year. In the meantime, I'll be back with you tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Hayden is coming on to talk about the online harms bill. Now, this is deadly serious stuff, this. This is deadly serious. The implications for free speech on the internet. Free speech, full stop. We'll talk about that with Hayden Hewitt tomorrow. I'm certain that Dr. Marcus de Bruin will be on the programme tomorrow as well. I'm pretty certain that he will be. And Spiro will be with me on Wednesday. I might have another guest, I might not. That Wednesday then will be the end of the show for the year. But I'm coming back on Christmas morning to do Christmas morning melodies at 10 o'clock UK time. Christmas morning melodies. All right. So I'm going to play this for Rose. Rose was the first caller on today. And her gran from Derry passed away. It's not an Irish song because I couldn't find an Irish song. But Rose, her gran was from Derry and died recently, only back in November, she said. And obviously that's very raw for Rose. I felt a bit bad about talking about that because obviously very raw for her. But dedicate this to Rose and to her gran. And I'll speak to you tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We're going out with Bill Withers. See you tomorrow. Bye now.